It is day three already at the Virginia Film Festival. This is Sean McCord. Thank you for joining us here on Facebook Live. We're in the festival studio in the media center of the Community Idea Stations, and I'm sitting here with director Derek Bort of American Dreamer. Your film screens tonight, Saturday, 5 p.m. at the Violet Crown. First of all, thanks for being here. You're a Virginia native, have you been to the Virginia Film Festival before?
I have, actually. Yeah, it's great to be here again. I've had two other films here in the past, and I love the vibe of the weekend here, and the people are great, and always happy to be here when I can.
Yeah. So American Dreamer, which again I'm going to say this many, many times, till you get tired of hearing it, is going to screen tonight, Saturday at 5 p.m. In the Violet Crown. Tell us a bit about the film and working with your star, Jim Gaffigan, who I'm hearing amazing things about in this film.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think it's all true, but you know, I'm probably a little partial. But it's a film about a guy that seemingly had it all and lost it all, and is kind of living on the edge, kind of become an invisible person, driving for an Uber-like company, and on the side he drives this kind of low-level drug dealer around in what's called a burner ride, which is apparently a common practice because of the search and seizure laws. You know, police won't pull someone. I won't be able to search a vehicle without probable cause. So he's a burner ride for this this drug dealer, about 20 years younger than him, and he gets himself in a situation where he needs money very badly, and decides he's going to kidnap the drug dealer's kid, and that's just the first of quite a few really bad decisions he makes in the film, and it just gets worse from there. And Jim is I think it's a game changer for him. Absolutely, I don't think anyone's seen him like this before, and just working with him every day on set I was continually just blown away by the places he was willing to go in service of this story and this character that. I had hoped for, but you never know what's going to happen.
Sure. Well, Jim Gaffigan is known as a comedian. Comedians often make some of the more surprising dramatic actors. But how did he come onto your radar screen, and how did he get involved in the film? Did you recruit him, or was his name brought to you?
So one of our exec producers, Mary Verneau, has put Jim in a number of dramatic roles recently, including Chappaquiddick.
Right.
And just in conversation about the character and about the role, she's the one who came up with it. She said Jim Gaffigan would be amazing in this role. So I wish I could take total credit, but it's a team effort. You know, it's a group effort here. And after talking with him and hearing his response to the script and the character, he connected with the character. He understood it. He understood the kind of film we were trying to make. And then... from there, it was just a question of trying to work around his ridiculously busy touring schedule, and the rest is history at this point.
So you're bringing this to the Virginia Film Festival. Have you been on the festival circuit with this film?
Well, we premiered at the LA Film Fest a month ago.
Okay, just a month ago.
And we weren't going to do any other festivals really until the release of the film, and try to probably time some other festivals around the release. But having shot the film in Virginia, which was a really big deal for me after trying to bring a few other films to the state, the timing seemed right that we just felt like it was appropriate to screen the film here as well, because so much of our cast and crew are available to attend. So it's kind of a special screening for us. I think that I didn't want these people to have to wait 4 or 5 months to see the film, and it all just kind of worked out. The timing worked out perfectly.
So it was shot in Norfolk.
It was, yeah.
And you still live in Virginia Beach.
I do.
Tell me about the title. I'm just intrigued by the title of the film, American Dreamer.
Well, I think that, let me see, where do I go with that? I mean, I always try to kind of abide by the rule of, you know, anything you put out there is kind of a Rorschach test that each person is going to take what they want from it. So mm-hmm. I can't travel with the film to tell people what to think. But I think that there are a lot of stories about different kinds of American dreams. A lot of them being told right now. A lot of it as a reflection of some of the things we see going on around us in our country. And this is just one of them. This is a guy that had his version of the American dream from his perspective taken from him. He takes no responsibility. He deserved something, and it was taken from him. And this is just a window onto his version of that, how he decides to deal with it.
Well, I ask, as you said, maybe kind of a Rorschach test in itself, just by the title. But I ask because I don't know. We've been having so many. We're in a political season in what's been a very political couple of years. We're talking about the American dream and how some people feel like that it's no longer in their grasp, and it's led them to take some desperate actions, like your character. Is this a political film? Is this a commentary on things that are going on in our society?
Well, I think it's absolutely a reflection of some of the things that I've seen over the last couple of years, that my co-writer Danny Forte has seen over the last couple of years. I think that it's a personal story. It's a small story about a few of these characters set against the backdrop of some very timely issues. You could put it that way. I think there's definitely, like I said, there are issues of entitlement and white privilege and different people's version of the American dream in the film, for sure. But I think that, you know, I think it always has to be about a personal story set against that the backdrop of these other kind of issues.
Okay. American Dreamer, as I said, until you get tired of hearing it, screens today, Saturday at 5 p.m., a little over an hour from now. So, everyone should come see the film, of course. But once they've seen the film, or if they hear this podcast and they say, "Oh, I really wanted to see that film," how do they continue to find out information about it? Do you have a social media presence set up? Do you have a website?
I think all of that will be happening in the next week or two.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I mean, I'm probably a pretty good source of that information myself, as far as whether someone. I don't know whether it's Twitter or something like that. I'm sure I'll be putting it out as soon as the press releases come out, as soon as the information comes out. But we've got a few things that hopefully will be announced next week that will have a lot of that information.
Okay. So are you touring with this film now? Are you taking it to different cities?
No. I think it'll be pretty much under wraps until the release.
Okay.
And then it'll be. It'll be out first quarter of next year. That's probably the most I can really talk about at the moment. But it'll be available for everyone to see very soon.
All right. So some people hate this question. Some people love this question. Do you have another project that you're working on right now, or is this just getting this out still your focus?
I've got a dozen projects. I mean, I always, have a lot of irons in the fire, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know which one's going to connect. So I've got some that I've probably been developing for 4 or 5 years, some that are just now starting to come together and over the last couple months. None that I feel like, I know that if I tell you about one, it won't be the one that goes, because that's just the way it tends to work. One that you think is going to happen next is inevitably never the one that happens next.
So the answer is you've got so many irons in the fire right now.
I feel like you have to. I think that at some point I was kind of I had one project at a time going, you put so much weight on whether that happens or not, mm-hmm. that there's so much waiting going on that. You have to. I find a way to stay busy, and it's just continue to work, continue to generate self-generate, you know, new material, and you know, we always have something in various stages of development with my co-writer Danny Forte and my producing partner Scott Lochmas. You know, we've got a few different things in different stages, and I'm not trying to be evasive. It's just, no, you never know what's going to happen.
No, you're fine. Some people say, "Oh yeah, I'm really glad you asked me. There's this other project I really want to talk about." But you've got too many things going on right now.
A lot and nothing at the same time.
That's a good problem to have. All right, one final time. I've been talking to Derek Bort. American Dreamer screens Saturday, 5:00, like an hour and a quarter from now, at the Violet Crown. Thanks for coming by. This podcast, this Facebook Live video, you can see now on the WCVE website, Facebook page. We're also going to be doing audio podcasts on the Charlottesville Podcast Network on cvillepodcast.com and the Film Festival website at virginiafilmfestival.org/podcasts. This interview, many others we've been doing for the past couple of days. I hope you can tune in and listen in. Thank you very much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy the Virginia Film Festival, and good luck with your screening tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you all.